A night in Madripoor. Let the fun begin.
Captain America and Iron Man, issue number 633.
Colin Bunn, Barry Kitson. Cover by Calaman Androsky.
June 2012, hashtag Captain America.
Marvel!
Welcome, dear listener, to our podcast. Jeff and Rick present Unpacking the Power of Power Pack,
where we journey through each issue of comics that include a member of the most underrated Marvel series from the 80s while drinking beer.
Analyzing awesome and amazing adjacent adolescent adventures and absorbing alcohol.
I am Jeff.
And I am Rick.
You better choose random. You gotta choose banter. You gotta pick. You better do what's right or you're gonna lose the fight. You gotta random banter time, buddy. Talk to me. Tell me tall tales and tantalizing tidbits of trivia today.
Maybe I don't want to. Have you ever thought about that? You always ask me that question. Maybe I don't want to talk to you. Maybe I want to do my own thing. Maybe I want to choose my own way. You can choose your own way. Choose your own way.
Close, but not quite. I'll give you a hint. They came off Into the Spider-Verse soundtrack by DJ KLL.
Okay.
Okay. The song is Elevate, and it is, you better choose a side. You got to choose a side. You got to pick. You better do what's right. You're going to lose the fight. The very intro chorus on the lyrics is, stepped out of my zone. I had to get out all alone, and figure it out on my own. Okay. And I know what I really want now. All about Laura.
All about Laura. Yeah, I can see it. I just didn't care.
Okay, fair enough. Put my heart and soul into a thing and you just step on it.
That was a very good choice. You synergied it together and I really appreciate you and I like what you bring to the podcast.
Yay!
Which is according to recent memory, it mostly is sickness and illness and...
Lots of that. Yeah. you like what I bring to the podcast. Another person.
Yeah, something like that. So I have been catching up on my comic books, and I've been very happy because there's been two series that I've gotten the first issue for, and then I'm like, when's the rest of it coming out? And last time I went to the store, I missed the second issue of one of them, and I was very upset, but second printing came out, I was able to pick up that and the third issue, and then another book that finally got the second issue. The two books I'm talking about are a little off the mainstream, but I think they're really, really good. Count Crawley. Count Crawley it's up to its fourth series. The first one was called The Reluctant Midnight Monster Hunter. And then the second series was The Amateur Midnight Monster Hunter. And the third one is The Mediocre Midnight Monster Hunter. Count Crawley is written by David Dasmalchian, who is an actor. He's been in a lot of different movies. He actually was in Suicide Squad, the Ant-Man movies. He's from Kansas City.
Oh, he was Polka Dot Man.
Yeah, he's Polka Dot Man. Yeah. He's a really entertaining, interesting guy. But this is his book. This is the book series that he has been writing. It's kind of, think, a low-rent UHF TV. They've got like a host who shows a bunch of bad horror movies. Well, this one newscaster, she's an alcoholic. She's losing her job. Her brother's giving her one more chance, shoves her into this position. But this position also comes with like a job where she has to be a monster hunter. So she doesn't know it. It is weird. It is wacky. It's heartfelt. There's a lot to it. And art's amazing in it. It's really a very interesting book. Really like it. I've been very happy about reading it. And I've just been like, where's the next issue? I want to get back to my Count Crawley.
Okay, so she's hosting the Bad Horror Show?
Yeah, she's hosting the Bad Horror Show.
And is a monster hunter kind.
That is like so tiny. It's like she goes and does it a little bit, but then it's on to this entire drama that's happening. The other thing I've been really into, and this is where I got the first issue, was sad that I missed the second issue and was happy that I got the second printing of it. It's a series called Beneath the Trees Where Nobody Sees. Imagine the Berenstain Bears meets Dexter.
Here's the scary part. I can see it.
Yeah.
I can picture that. I can mash that together.
Yeah, it is weird. The art in it is pastels. It's anamorphic animals living in a town, small town, doing kinds of things. And there's this bear. She's the person who runs the hardware store. And every so often, she heads off to the big city, figures out a person, and then kills them and chops up their bodies in the woods. What am I reading?
Yeah.
Basically, that, you know, she does not do this in her town.
No, you don't. No.
Your town is clean.
Yeah.
And then there's this horrific murder that happens in the town that's very public and on display. And she's like, somebody's got to die.
Yeah. Not here. You don't bring that to my doorstep.
No, it is.
I bring it to yours.
It is eerie. It's just one of these things that it's all pastels and then blood. And what is going on? It's good. It's interesting. It's really hitting a lot of people right now. It's become a really good book that people are trying to hunt down. I guess it's going to be coming out in a trade paperback too. So
okay.
Keep your eye out for that one too. There's some good books out there. I like my Marvel, like DC, but check out some of the indie press sometime. There's some good books that you can pick up. There's some good series that are out there. Talk to your local comic shop and ask them to recommend something. Count Crawley, I knew about from something else, but the Beneath the Trees, that was comic book store guys like, hey, I think you might like this. I was like, yes.
You are correct.
Sign me up.
I haven't heard of either one of them, and I want to read both of them now.
I could lend them to you.
I would accept those, and then I would give them back to you in a long time now.
I said I could.
Oh, not that you would, but could. Yes, you are physically able, but emotionally, stability? No.
No.
Maybe not.
No.
I get it.
I did leave you a birthday present on your doorstep.
I know, that was wonderful. Thank you. Here is my birthday. I was amazingly sick. It was on a Friday. I got up in the morning. I got my daughter to school. I didn't even take her to the bus stop because I then went back to bed for 6 hours. And then I got up and I cleaned up and had a little bit to eat and didn't pick her up from the bus stop. Hillary went and grabbed her. And then she came home and I talked to her for a little bit. And then I took a nap on a chair. And then I think when Rick dropped the stuff off, I think I was laying on the floor trying to feel terrible while playing an online game.
You were downstairs. I saw that you were downstairs and I saw that Hillary was at the dining room table, but we didn't interrupt the family. I just came, sat something down there and said, I am going to be Ninja Boy.
No, that worked out. That was wonderful. Thank you so much. Some cool Korean Oreos and some sake, I believe, which he's like, he sent me a text going, get drunk. And I'm like, not right now. I feel terrible. So,
how are the Oreos?
I haven't had them yet, actually. I'm staring right at them. They're right there.
Chocolate-covered Oreos from the Korean store. Yeah.
Yeah. Trust me. I want to get into them. My appetite has been small and regressed and everything still just from being ill. So I want to enjoy those.
You were this close from getting a package of seaweed.
Ooh.
Because on the packaging of the seaweed was a little baby shark, and Carrie and I were going around the store saying, baby shark, doo 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 doo, baby Jeff, boat, doo doo doo, baby Jeff shark. And we were just doing that, and like, we should get this for Jeff.
Tart, 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 tart.
We were talking, we're like, we should get this for Jeff. Jeff would get a kick out of it. We're like, this seems absolute. I mean, I don't know if you were sick enough to just be staring at it going, I don't get it.
You would have told me. You told me right now. No, that's wonderful. Thank you so much for dropping that off. That was very, very kind of you. I appreciate that a lot. It was really, really nice.
Oh, we were in the neighborhood. We had a choice between buying eggs and throwing them at the house for doing this. And so Cindy was with me.
I appreciate what you did instead of what you didn't do. Yeah, I would have loved to have gone out to the restaurant with you guys. That would have been a lot of fun. But yeah, I wasn't going anywhere.
So what pop culture madness have you done?
Well, I saw The Marvels finally.
Oh, do you like it?
Yep. You know, I enjoyed it. I understand why people did not like it at all. I enjoyed it. It was silly. It was fun. It was a lot of fluff. But in thinking about it, like last episode, I talked about how I saw Rise of the Beast, the Transformers movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I started thinking about it. And I'm like, wow, Rise of the Beast and The Marvels are almost the same movie. You've got sky beams. You've got innumerable weightless CGI foes. You have somebody that's going to come to your planet and eat it for its resources. I'm kind of like, this is a little musical number going on in here and this is kind of the same movie. Huh. So I strangely was able to tie the Transformers and the Marvel superhero universe together, which there's been comics of that.
you've also been drinking a lot of NyQuil, so I don't know how much I'm going. I'm not really sure how much of it's a fever dream or not. I don't know.
Man, there's a lot of fever dream.
What'd you think of the end credit scene?
Fun. I like things that tie in and draw you into other properties and stuff. I think that's great. The end of Transformers had a tie-in end tag in it as well that tied into another property, which Oh, that's the thing I forgot about. Transformers had a tie-in with another property, and the Avengers thing had a tie-in with another property. I could give spoilers for both, but maybe I won't. Message us. Talk to us on our webpage, and we can discuss it if you are interested in discussing those little crossover spoilers.
I had to sit there and explain in detail to my wife about how cool that end credit scene for the Marvels was, because I am a geek and I have read all of Chris Claremont's run of comics. And so I had to explain the entire detail of that scene and why it was important.
Yeah.
And the amount of not caring that my wife showed me was insulting to my geek cred.
There's a number of memes that are directly tied to that kind of explaining that you're doing.
Don't care. It's knowledge that has to be shared. The knowledge lives in my head. I have to share it with her because everybody else can walk away from me. She can't.
She's trapped. She's trapped in the house with you. She
can't
get away.
That's not my fault.
Nope, that's on her.
It's on her. Just don't understand. Jeez. All right.
Neither did she, and she was happy with that. But
she understands now.
I doubt it.
Yeah, she doesn't. All right. Yeah. Let's go ahead and talk about the two-sentence replay of last episode, sir.
The Avengers and the Utopian X-Men continue to act like adults and go to war with one another because the Phoenix Force is coming back to Earth, and they each think that they know what's best for the situation and that the other side is dumb. In the meantime, the child soldiers of Cyclops are to be housed at the Avengers Academy for the interim until all of the punchy festivities are over and all of the so-called grown-ups go back to being less dumb versions of themselves. Now that Hercules is a guest professor at the Academy, and the first thing he teaches everyone is that the first Olympians were naked and loved wrestling. Two-sentence replay is over. Why don't you give me a beer and tell us what our Power Pack pick is?
Ribbit, ribbit, ribbit.
All right, Kermit. I'm going to just reach in here and find out what that's about. Vice Bee. It's a ribbit robot. It is a frog in a kind of break. It's like he's a break dancing sound wave robot with a gold chain. He's got the tape deck on his front and everything. Yeah, it's a mech suit. He's controlling it. He's not a robot at all. There's a frog in a hat with big glasses. He's playing music. You probably never heard of it before. He was there when they first opened, before they sold out. Ribbit robot. Yes, it is a frog piloting a robot, much like Justin is piloting a Sentinel.
That's coming out of the water, much like a frog would.
A frog, yep.
The Ribbit Robot is very much like the Sentinel in this issue. Get it?
That is pretty great. what do we got? It's a hazy IPA, and the story time on it is government warning, according to the Surgeon General. Blah, 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 blah. You know the story that they tell on each and every one. There you go. That's a fun label. And another IPA, but the hazy instead of an imperial. So the hope on this one is that it'll be very less IPA-like.
A hazy IPA from another dimension, loaded with a double dry hopping of Mandarina Bavaria, Azeca, and El Dorado for citrusy, punchy, hip-hoppy drinking experience. 6.5% ABV. Jeff, I'm sorry. I buy a random selection of different beers, and then I try to make them fit. And I was like, you know what? Let's see what happens. There is a robot in this one. There's a robot in water. This is going to work well. And then you sat there talking about Transformers. So
there's an aquatic Atlantean mutant called Costa that's in it as well, representing the frog. This is, we had an IPA earlier today that smelled very, very similar to this, but when you poured it, it didn't have a head on it. This one poured with quite the foamy head.
You can eat this foam with a spoon.
Yep. It's very citrus hop IPA smell. Hmm. It's very citra pine.
Not bad.
It's not bad. It's a citrus pine. It's a citra IPA. It's a lot milder than the previous one Rick isn't making faces. It's not bad. It's pleasant.
Yeah, this is pleasant.
It's a very good summer drink.
It's much cleaner. It's much simpler. It's much tamer. I think that this is just pleasant and enjoyable.
Hazy IPAs, I tend to enjoy because it really kind of mutes the IPA-ness of it, where you go, oh, I'm tasting the rusty nails. I'm tasting the pine notes, the kind of the juniper flavor. I'm getting that there's some citrus and some floral in there. But also, we're a beer, so it's mild.
Yeah.
It's nice. This would be a wonderful summertime beer.
Yeah, I'm enjoying this. I think this is a nice, easy beer. Not too much on the arm wrestling you to the ground. Just more of, I want to play my music. I want to beatbox around. I want to want to control my mech suit the way I want to control my mech suit. We're going to hide in the water. Just chill out. Drinking our little IPA.
Listen to some music. Listen to some tunes down under the water and just kind of chill, not being bugged by anybody. It's a good reclining beverage.
Yeah. Yeah. Nice and easy. Nice and easy. Like this book. Maybe. Maybe not. I don't know. We'll see. Jeff, let's get started on the book. Opening credits. Hit me.
Avengers Academy, issue number 30, July 2012. Protective Services, part 2. Credits. Writer, Christos Engage. Penciler, Tom Grummet. Inker, Corey Hampshire. Letterer, Joe Caramanga. Colorist, Chris Sotomayor. Editor, Bill Roseman. Chief, Axel Alonso.
Featuring Reptile, Striker, Metal, Hazmat, Finesse, White Tiger, Lightspeed, X-23, Ricochet, WizKid, She-Hulk, Justin Seaford, Hollow, a bunch of other people. We didn't even mention Tigra, Hercules, and all those people. Sebastian Shaw, you know they're in here. Let's see what happens. Let's move it on. Let's talk about this issue.
Hear ye, hear ye. This meeting of the Avengers Monthly Monday Mutant Muckabout Club is now in order. We shall skip the minutes and move right on to the agenda. Apparently WizKid has the floor.
Yeah, I mean, he has some feelings on the Academy being a post-pubescent prison.
Prison is a tough word. Technically truthful, but tough.
Our buddy Ricochet, you remember him, Laura, and Hazmat, they're all listening with, wait, Hazmat's not a mutant.
No, but she is Japanese.
What does that have to do with... Oh, WizKid is using that card?
Yeah, okay. There is a small connection between the internment camps of yesteryear and this surprise sudden storage situation. But let's be real. That sucked. This is the 21st century in a high-tech compound with multiple TVs, computers, dirt bikes, go-karts, a basketball court, a movie theater, jet skis, a pool, Wi-Fi, a smoker, a pool basketball court, a barricade basketball court.
Oh, okay, okay. We get the idea. It's still a prison, though. And really, this is not about what anybody else believes except Laura.
Jeez, that is easy. Everyone knows what Laura thinks.
Really? Well, she doesn't know what she thinks.
She's thinking about killing someone.
Doesn't everybody think that?
Only on those murderous days that end in Y.
Let's shift focus and see what the adults are up to.
Herc is shining his shield.
Is that a...
And Tiger is holding his helmet.
And also that, are those euphemisms?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Well, the Greek god is prepping to go after Sebastian Shaw. They're pretty sure he's still on the property, so this should be easy.
Sure. A guy who has whipped the X-Men and who has a power to absorb kinetic energy from things like punches. You know, that thing that Herc is famous for doing.
No, you see, he has a plan.
And speaking of plans, what's Shaw's?
Probably just revenge. Let's see. His memories were erased by Emma Frost. The best way to tick off Emma is to hurt, injure, or kill her students. And her students are here. So, yeah.
Okay. Well, let's see. There are some choices. They could warn the students, or they can keep them in the dark.
Well, this is a tricky situation. They do not know what all the kids will do. Some will want to hide or fight or make popcorn and watch. Some will want to join Shaw to cause mischief and mayhem. And oddly, there are those that would want to participate in underwater basket weaving classes.
Well, whatever. Jeffries pulls up some metal and circuitry together to make a little technomorph battle armor for himself, and they go to fight Shaw.
It is time for some girl talk.
Rick, are those the right words? As it is Hazmat and Laura we're talking about here.
Right. It's time for some psycho killer talk.
Qu'est-ce que c'est?
Hazmat does not want to fight or argue, or secretly test the limits of Laura's healing factor. She wants to figure out what Laura is going to do.
So does Laura. Being created to be a killing machine that follows order, she's not used to making decisions. Sure, deciding who lives and dies is easy, but these dumb emotions and social tenets, ugh.
And here is where Hazmat's at. She is watching Metal surfing on dirt, being manipulated by Loa. She's not jealous of this. She's happy. Metal had so much of the joy of his life removed when his powers were forcibly activated. And here's an opportunity to do something that he truly loved. Hazmat wants Metal, someone she cares about, to have joy.
That is so unlike me. I, personally, prefer people, like my co-host, to suffer and to be experiencing sadness by the choices that I have made.
Congratulations, your life goal has been met. But Laura and Hazmat really go into why Hazmat is jealous of Laura, and it is really just tied up in Hazmat's fear of being intimate with Metal.
The last time that she was intimate, her fleshy, non-metal boyfriend nearly died, and while that would not happen with Metal, Hazmat is still having issues with the issue.
That, of course, leads to her fear of losing Metal. And with this, Laura gives her the best advice in the world.
Buy low, sell high?
Sort of. If a dude breaks your heart because you chose yourself over them, stand up and move on.
Or, to say it another way, stab them for every tear that you shed.
No, not even close to her meaning. But let's move on to the sewers.
A place we as Marvel mutant fans know well. Madison Jeffries is patrolling in his makeshift Cylon armor and gets blindsided by a shirtless Sebastian Shaw.
Take that, high-tech sensors!
Jeffries decides to try a passive approach in restraining the bad guy by wrapping him up in some power wires, which Shaw is able to absorb the energy from because it's not just kinetic energy that he can take in.
That may have been something good to have highlighted on the stat sheet.
It might be on there. You're just assuming that the guy assigned to guard him has read all the official handbooks of the Marvel Universe Deluxe Editions like we may have done.
Long story short, Madison Jeffries is down, and in any other book would probably be listed as deceased due to Shaw's vicious, just off-screen pummeling.
Okay, let's move on to something happier.
How about Reptile begging Finesse to be with him since they are destined to have a child together in the future?
I do not want to deal with this.
Neither does Finesse. She will even work with Laura on figuring out what is happening with AVX over dealing with this pushy lizard boy.
Then let's skip over to the history lesson that Finesse gives Laura about the events that have led to the current dispute.
You would think that Laura, an X-Man and clone of Wolverine, would have more knowledge about the X history, but she needs a tutor.
In this job market? Bad, I kid. Well, we get the Finesse version that starts with the fact that the Phoenix Force is coming back to Earth, and the last time that it was here, it front-flipped Jean Grey into the Dark Phoenix, sideways to Hope now being the prophesized as the, well, prophet that will bring about a utopia, and an inverted double-pike twist to mention that time-traveling Bishop thinks that Hope will kill a million humans and bring about a dark future.
Well, this is a fun romp down memory lane. In the interest of facts, we should mention that this is all conjecture, innuendo, and fantasy, and, to be fair, a convoluted history created by multiple creators over 50 years. So really, this is a coin toss that is destined to explode into the air mid-flip.
Okay, fine. But this is an Avengers comic, and Finesse is a cold analytical computer. And she thinks that the sum total is that the Avengers are right. And what Laura is really trying to figure out is if she needs to stand with her current or former classmates.
And then there is the prism problem.
Yeah, that is a problem. But I hope that she figures it out soon, because the Sharks and the Jets are about to throw down.
Since that stage is set, let's check in on the other fight. Shaw v. Herc, the shirtless showdown!
Well, first, Herc is invisible.
No, seriously. Herc has never been invisible, or stealthy, or subtle, or anything that would take away from his nickname of Mr. Boombastic.
Well, even though he is Shaggy, that's not his nickname. But what I'm talking about is that today he decided to wear an invisible helmet. And tried to be sneaky, but Shaw is too good for that, because he targets the square where Herc is talking with a helm of Hades removing punch.
Yeah, Herc gave himself disadvantage on his high check with all his talk. But also Hercules, trying to be tricky with the shield of Perseus, whose visage of Medusa will petrify any man that stared at it, and also no go, because Shaw seems to have recently watched Clash of the Titans.
Sure, those tricks might have failed, but Herc's about to swing his magic sword. Well, guess what? The sword of Peleus can cut through anything, but magic kinetic energy is still energy, and that is a power that jacks up Shaw, which allows him to...
Breakathame?
Pile drive Herc into the floor.
Well, that was anticlimactic.
Meanwhile, on the beach,
home of the fighting fighters,
the Academians are trying to convince the X's that they need to be chilla in the villa.
All well and good, but these kids are not down to clown. They know what discrimination smells like, and they are not happy with the stink of it.
Oh, also, the mutants that are in the academy, like Ricochet, WizKid, and Penance, they're going to be over here with the X's because they want to stand with the band. Hey, do we really need to keep doing this rhyming thing?
No. I guess that we are in serious mode now. I mean, this is kind of serious and tense. Anything can push the ignition on this tinderbox.
You mean like Justin Sentinel popping up out of the drink to stop one of the mutants from diving off into the deep blue?
Yeah, that would be awkward and bad and uncomfortable. And exactly what happens, because that is the fun in the bun in the no sun and makes matters worse by a ton.
You done?
With this scene? Yes. Let's skip over to Tigra's turn to tussle with the troublesome Shaw.
Wait, hang on. This post-Lamotomy mutant, who likes to dress in Victorian finery, that has just walked through Madison Jeffries and Hercules like they were a stick of butter on a sidewalk in July, is going to be stopped by an overgrown house cat?
Now come on, Tigra has always been an impressive fighter, and she is way smarter than those other two chuckleheads. Case in point, she skips the fisticuffs and moves right onto the chokehold.
Not a bad move, and it would have worked too if not for those pesky walls surrounding them.
Yeah, Shaw does some backwards Kool-Aid man through the wall using Tigra as a medium. Insert thram scratch.
This not only powers him up, but removes the pain in his neck and knocks her out.
Okay, back to the beach and the Sentinel situation.
Julie is not happy. I mean, she's not a mutant, but she knows that this was a bad idea, keeping the converted Killbot on campus grounds.
Well, yeah, her brother took out Master Mold once, remember? I have an actual page of that comic book.
I hate you. Is what I would say if I was the petty jealous type.
You are, and you did. Well, while everyone is trying to attack the Sentinel for attacking the mutants, Justin is trying to explain that he is not like that anymore. He's a friendly Iron Giant.
Destroy all mutants.
That's just his catchphrase. He really doesn't mean it.
Right. Well, Laura is going to resolve this. She runs up to Justin's cockpit and breaks in to explain that he and Voltron need to exit stage left. Now.
Okay, that problem has been taken care of. Now, what about the elephant in the room?
Which one?
Let's start with a prison situation. Laura says that it's stupid and that you cannot take away free will, no matter how well you rationalize it.
Nice speech, but we don't have time for an inspiring Captain America-like monologue about freedom and choice. The other elephant in the room is dropped. Shaw is here.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, Shaw is very excited to have fun with this conveniently grouped cluster of students who are the wards of his jailers.
To be continued. But for now, let us continue on to talk about the cover of this issue. Avengers Academy, drawn by Giuseppe Camilleco. And we have a background that has a plethora of people. I mean, we got all Avengers.
It's Avengers.
Yeah,
it's all Avengers.
It's just tons of Avengers. We are not even going to name all. There's tons and tons and tons, and they're kind of like all drawn sketch style on just the heads on this blue background. But front and center, we have Metal and a shirtless Sebastian Shaw going at it, which is nothing about this book.
No, it's also classic Shaw, where he's shirtless in his Victorian kind of garb with his boots and red sash around his waist and red boot cuffs, and he's got his long ponytail and everything, and you know, his hair pulled back into a tie, where he doesn't have that now. Right now he's in a blown up t-shirt hoodie combo and some sweatpants, and he's kind of got a buzz cut, because that's easier to take care of if you're an amnesiac.
I guess. I wouldn't know. I wouldn't remember.
Yeah, who does, Memento Man?
It's a cool-looking cover, but I don't really like it that much. First of all, Shaw versus Metal. Metal's dead. There's just no other way about it. Metal's got two things. He's strong, and he's nigh invulnerable. Mm-hmm. Shaw takes kinetic energy and turns it into power. He is going to rip out Metal's metal heart.
Pretty much. Yeah, if they're going fist to fist, then yeah, Shaw definitely wins. It might work out for Metal if he starts the fight in grappler mode, if he goes Olympic Greco-wrestling.
You are...
Little wrestling, ties up Shaw.
I know that we don't know Metal all that well, yeah. But I think we can agree that his fighting style is me go forward and punch.
Him sloppy, him hit, him big strong. Yeah, I would kind of assume that. I don't think he's a very skilled combatant. But the only way that I could, like I said, this is the only way that I could see the matchup going in Metal's direction would be if he can just wear Shaw down, let Shaw use up his energy reserves and just pin him.
What I would have liked better for this cover, and I think it would have been much cooler, is even though it was a bit of a letdown, main event, Hercules versus Shaw with all of the combined X-Kids around them.
Yeah.
Done and done. simple, that easy. Cool. Yeah,
yep.
That didn't really happen, but that's kind of what we're talking about. It's all the kids dealing with something that's going on, the symbol of the X-Men versus the Avengers. It would have been a very cool cover. I think that would have been much, much better and led into this issue a lot more and got people excited. Sebastian Shaw versus Hercules? Heck yeah, I want to see that. That sounds interesting. Yep.
You could use that or Tigra. Tigra versus Shaw. You could do that one too. But yeah, Herc versus Shaw. It's kind of great because apparently they've had run-ins together before because Shaw even comments on it. He's like, previously, I was nearly your match or something along those lines. But now you've been depowered. You're barely, you're basically just a strong human at this point. It's not going to be a competition.
Yeah.
And then Shaw just embarrasses him and humbles him each step of the way.
Let's get into talking about that. Shaw versus the Avengers. Not even Shaw versus Avengers. It's Shaw versus his captain.
Yeah.
He walks through Mass and Jeffries, which Jeffries at least was trying to think about some type of passive approach to get him. It just didn't work well at all.
Yeah, because he was just like, haha, I'm not going to punch you. What I'm going to do is restrain you with power lines. And Shaw's like, oh, you misunderstand my powers.
Yeah.
Like most people. It's not just kinetic energy. And he tears the wires apart, then feeds off the energy. He's like, it's all energy.
Yeah. Which is nice. And I'm glad he explained that to us. But he also explained it to Madison Jeffries, who now Madison Jeffries can use. Oh, no, he can't because Jeffries has got to be dead.
Potentially. Again, it was an off-screen murder. Had his helmet ripped off, and then there was an off-screen punch to the general Jeffries area.
Sebastian Shaw is not stopping. He is getting out of here. He's got a plan to destroy. The only reason that he is not killing Jeffries is because why?
Yeah, there's no reason to. Because they want to have the character around for later. Got to put the toys back in the box.
Okay. You obviously haven't read the new Wolverine arc.
You're right. I have not. I am behind on a lot of stuff.
The new Wolverine arc actually says on the cover, this is not for children. And you know what? They're right.
All right.
There is stuff in that book that I'm like, whew, Quentin Tarantino would be proud of you. Thinking about that entire scene, it's like, yeah, there's nobody to stop Shaw from just destroying this C-lister. Because
there's nothing. Especially since it wasn't Shaw versus the Avengers, it was Shaw versus Jeffries. Then it was Shaw versus Hercules. Then it was Shaw. There was no group up. It's
Shaw versus the big boss. He is going.
Yeah.
He's the kung fu fighter that's going up the levels of the house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's starting in the sewers and he's working his way up to the top. Exactly. Just like that. He's one-offing people. And he's one-offing them fairly quickly and embarrassingly. And hey, guess what? He's powering up every time.
Tigra actually was probably not the embarrassing one. She did a really good job. And if it wasn't for those pesky walls being there, she would have been fine. But
no, it was great because Shaw, even after he humbles her, he even said, he goes, of all of them, you were the closest to defeating me.
Yeah.
She's like, yeah, I'm not going to punch you because I'm going to choke you out because you need air and blood to do your things. So
not a bad way of going about it. So as disappointing as a Hercules fight was, because he was prepared.
Oh yeah. He kitted up. He had an invisibility helmet. He had a shield that could petrify. He had a sword that could cut through anything. And each special attack got name dropped and then dropped on the ground.
Yeah. Sad, sad, sad. He even wasted an entire roll of duct tape just to, protect the shield, protect himself. Didn't do no good. Oh, good.
Yeah, well, he was putting the duct tape on the face of the shield so that way it wouldn't petrify him or any of his allies until he was in combat mode, which I thought was clever.
And yet he was doing that in front of all of his friends.
I know. Again, it's Hercules. I know he's a computer programmer, but never accuse him of doing the brightest of things.
This was another book about Laura. Everybody wants to know what Laura thinks and what Laura's going to do.
Or they assume they already know. They assume they know what she's going to do. Yeah.
Is she going to be helping out the X-Kids escape? Or is she going to help the Avengers Academy protect the school and protect the X-Kids from themselves? What's she going to do? What's she going to do?
Yeah. What's she going to do when Shaw comes for you?
Yeah. She doesn't. No. She is getting a lot of advice. She is actually the audience surrogate here because she is being able to provide background on the entire history of the Phoenix and what this means that the Phoenix power is coming back, the Phoenix Force is coming back, Jean Grey and her turn as the Dark Phoenix, who the players in this game are with Hope, Bishop's warnings that Hope getting the power is going to cause darkness. Bishop spent much of this time or much of the time previous to this trying to hunt down and kill hope. Mm-hmm. That's what he was doing at this point in time. So we're getting all this information through Finesse, and Laura's taking it in. Laura's taking in advice and conversations with Hazmat, who she's had. Hazmat's had a problem with Laura. Laura could care less about what Hazmat thinks.
Yeah.
Laura could care less about what everybody thinks. So she's getting good advice from people, and she's using it to figure out what she should do.
No, which is great, because people are assuming, they're like, oh, she's going to go for this because of these reasons. And she's like, no, I'm not. She is parsing information. She's trying to figure out, and she's threading that needle really well, because even when she chooses a side, she's chosen her own side, which mm-hmm. was basically saying, yeah, this isn't the captivity. She even says, she goes, this is ridiculous. This is not the internment camps or prison like everybody, they're saying that it is, but they are having their free will removed, and that's the worst thing that you can do.
Yeah.
To get up to Justin's robot, she jumps in front of Transonic, stomps WizKid out of his flying wheelchair to jump up onto the robot to get to him, to and not to fight him, but just to go, I'm not going to hurt you. I want you to leave.
Yeah.
And then come back, and then she can give her speech before Shaw shows up. Yeah. But it was great, because in that you have it's the Avengers and the X-Men, but you also have mutants that are part of the Avengers, and they're trying to figure out where they're going to be. And there's even a part on that when it's like, oh, Sentinel pops up, and Surge is like, I'm going to melt its metal brain. And WizKid's like, no, don't. He's a good Sentinel. We play basketball.
Yeah.
And you know, Transonic's flying by, and he's like, can everybody please pick what side they're on?
But that's the piece of it, too. It's not easy. Mm-hmm. And I think even most of the kids, most of the Avengers can be kids, they don't want to be jailers, but they want to protect the other Avengers who are out. They don't want more people fighting in this fight. They want to protect them. They want to keep them there, but they also want to give them, they don't believe in this being a prison.
No, they were unjustly given a job that they should not have been given.
Right.
When Cap tells them, here they are, try and convince them why they should be here and how great it is. And if they try to leave, stop them.
Yeah.
That should not be these kids' job. These kids should be ambassadors and just be like, we're taking you in. Welcome. You are guests. Let us show you the facilities. You're ultimately going to do what you're going to do.
Yeah.
They should have been ambassadors, and they should have been like, it's not our job to hold you. It's our job to provide you secure when you need it.
Yeah. A lot of people ask me what my job is with you, and I tell them, it's not my job to protect him. I just try to keep him within...
Bottle feed.
I just want to keep him within the uprights. That's my job.
It's, yeah, and bottle feed me on the weekly.
We said we wouldn't talk about that.
Well, it's beer. Bottle and can feeding.
Let's talk about the Sentinel. I like the fact that they're like, Justin, hide now.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Good. Hide. Keep him on the perimeter. That's, you know what? This is just going to have to be the way it is. This is an awkward conversation. We don't need that. And
put him on coastal protection where it's just like, because they even talk about it. They go, it's like, why do you have a Sentinel here? And it's like, he's designed to detect mutants and we need to protect this shore. Just, you know, when the Sentinel, like when Costa jumps off to go join the Atlanteans again, the robot pops up and says, mutant detected, leaving school premises. Please remain on campus.
Yeah.
It wasn't destroy all mutants until he got a little worked up.
Well,
a little sugar,
you know,
in his system.
It's a Sentinel. We always assume that destroy all mutants is unsaid.
Yeah. It's kind of his default catchphrase. It's his, well, isn't that special?
Yeah. It was hilarious. I love it. I love the fact that, like, you guys have a Sentinel. Well, yeah, doesn't everybody?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like, we do, but, we kind of don't. We do, it is, but it's not. Yes, but definitely no, but yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, Justin and his big robot friend is pretty wonderful. I like Sentinel a lot.
Yeah, they use him well in this. Laura coming and saying, let's just get out of here. He's like, not a problem.
Yep.
Hey, somebody's shooting at us. No kidding. Get out of here.
Yeah. I thought it was funny, too, when Sentinel's like got coastal and is kind of putting him back on the shoreline. You have Hazmat and Metal shooting radiation beams and throwing rocks at him. Like, go away, Bigfoot. Get out of here. You're not wanted anymore.
It just, again, it gets into that confusion factor. And Justin's like, I'll go. Not a problem. But now you're getting him riled. Everybody's getting riled. Mm-hmm. We need a common enemy to focus on. Oh, Shaw. How you doing, Shaw?
Yeah, there you go. That'll be the common enemy, and then they'll join forces until they then resettle to do whatever they do.
Julie had the comment, too, I should say. You kept the Sentinel on campus knowing what they represent.
Yeah.
Julie, you weren't part of that meeting. What happened? You
know? Yeah.
All right.
There's a lot of students, which is surprising because there are actually a lot of students because people pop up in the background images from time to time where I'm like, oh, that's Lyra. That's the She-Hulk from another like timeline or something. Oh, I forgot she was here. Okay. Oh, WizKid. WizKid's a bird. Oh, Ricochet's here. Oh, fun. You know?
And Ricochet's a mutant, too. You know, hey, cool.
Yeah. I honestly forgot that part.
All right. Anything else you want to talk about?
No. I think I'm okay. I think I'm good.
All right. right, let's get into the Gallery of Greatness and let's talk about some artwork to put up on our Wet Sentinel. Yeah, we're going to put artwork on the Wet Sentinel. Why not? All right. My Gallery of Greatness, backup joke one. It is arts and crafts time with Herc. We talked about this already. Herc is sitting there and he is, we got this great scene with him just in the room and he's like, I am going to protect people that they aren't going to see this. So I'm in the middle of the room with everybody around me. I'm going to be just duct taping up a shield that will turn people into stone.
It's on page 4. That's my top joke one. I called it duct tape can fix anything.
Just kind of ridiculous, if you ask me.
It's fairly silly. It's pretty great, but it's also fairly ridiculous.
Yeah.
It made me laugh. So it made you laugh, too. Just made me laugh a little harder.
Yeah, what made you laugh a little bit less?
A little bit less would be on page 9 of Marvel Unlimited. And I call it Moon Boy's Looking Pretty Buff. Whew. And this is the top left quarter panel. And it is when Shaw is breaking free of the power lines that Jeffrey's wrapped around him. And he looks like a real buff Moon Boy because they draw Shaw in this with very simian features, very pronounced eyebrows. I know he usually does, but it's just, it really stood out to me in this because there's enough shadowing on him where I'm like, yeah, that could be a buff Moon Boy. Why not?
Yeah, it's not the greatest picture. It's a little off, but yeah, it's goofy. It's really, really goofy is what that is.
Got a little bit of that Vandal Savage, a little bit of that caveman Neanderthal kind of look kind of thing going on.
Just a little bit. Mm-hmm. My top joke one is closer to the end of the book, and this is during the Tigra Shaw fight. And it's the second panel down. It's after he has bashed Tigra into the wall, but they are going through the wall sideways. It's like synchronized swimming. Mm-hmm. And it's them going through the wall, and Tigra's knocked out. But it's like a synchronized swimming shot of them going through a wall, and the wall turns to dust. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah. So yeah, it gets vaporized pretty good.
I thought it was funny. I thought it was silly looking. I'm like, okay, whatever. Good. What do you have for backup good art?
My backup good art is on page 14.
Okay.
It is the top panel, and I call it, I bet duct tape can fix that. Notice a theme. This is when Shaw is punching the shield of Perseus out of Hercules' hands, and it's torn one of the back straps off of it, so while the shield goes flying, and I'm like, I bet you can fix that with duct tape. So, but I just really like it because it's a good looking muscly Shaw versus the loins of Olympus kitted out with his gear. It's great. I just really like it.
My backup good art is on that same page, bottom panel, and it is Eat Fist's Little God, and this is where Shaw has done a double punch down on Hercules, and he has buried him in the floor.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, it's Shaw owning Hercules.
He plays hammer and nail. He just plants him.
Yeah.
It's really good. Yeah. Herc's not getting up.
Nope. What is your top good art?
It is on page 21, and I call it Sad Hulk Music.
Will duct tape fix that?
I bet it will, because Justin's canopy got slashed open, so why not?
Justin's going to drown in a second there is what's going to happen.
Only if it goes deeper than waist high, and I think that the Sentinel's doing okay. This is after Laura's told Justin and the Sentinel to walk on. And so they're walking off, and they're in the ocean in the background, and they're waist deep walking through the ocean, just walking away, like Hulk or Banner would walk away after the end of the show, and just like very sad Hulk music, just giant thing walking away. I just love it because it's got the foreground stuff of the characters. It's got Laura and Hazmat and Costa and Reptile and some of the cuckoos, and yeah, just that in the distance you have this this gargantuan, you have this Godzilla, you have this kaiju basically just walking away in the background. It's the end of a kaiju fight movie. It's wonderful.
Yep, that's kind of funny because you did that one. I did the beginning of that segment where the pop-up happened where he comes up, and I call it Night Swim. So this is where the Sentinel has come up and caught Crosta. I think it's kind of cool. I like the water coming off the robot. I like Justin's little cockpit that he's got on the shoulder. I think it's a pretty darn cool picture there. I really like it.
It was on my short list. And also, you were correct. It is Crosta, not Costa. Okay, wow. Correct me. That's what I get for reading it on the small.
Well, I've talked to you about that many times. You shouldn't do small things like that, you fool. You dumb, dumb fool. Oh, it's rubber and glue moment, and you walked into it. Oh, no. But, you know, you did the talking, idiot.
Hey, that's on page 13 of Marvel Unlimited. Yeah, and that is when Hercules is invisible and sneaking up, and Shaw's all, invisibility magic? Hercules, afraid to face me man to man? Never, yet the lives of children are at stake. I can take no risks. You did that by talking, idiot.
Yeah.
And yep. Krang punches the helmet off of the guy's face. Yep.
For my top one, I had The Miscreant Cannot Escape the Mighty Hercules.
Mm.
I liked it. It's not only calling Shaw miscreant, but also it's the Mighty Hercules. It's also boast, too. So it's haha, you suck. I great.
That's a good one. My top one is on page 10, and it's when Reptile and Finesse and Laura are talking. Because Reptile's, Genie, I saw the future. We're together. We're meant to be together. You saw a possible future, one of many. It has minimal bearing on our lives. But I thought, time travel aside, I thought there was something between us. There was. The more you try to limit my choices, the weaker it becomes. Then Laura pops in. I wish to speak to Finesse. Can you give us a minute, says Reptile? Finesse's response is, that won't be necessary. Our conversation is finished.
Just take a shower. Go away, Reptile.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, Reptile is not my favorite at all. Not my favorite.
It's going to pop up here in a little bit.
Yeah. I didn't even use that, but we'll get to that in a second. We got to get through the Parent of the Year, the Reed Richards Award for Good Parenting. I've got a very interesting choice on this one.
I'm curious. This was a hardish one for me.
It was. It was kind of me, too.
So I'm curious what you're going
to
go for.
I decided to give it to Laura.
Ooh, interesting. Okay.
She was not really a child in this one. She was not making a choice. She was being an adult. She was looking for answers and trying to make a good decision.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is sometimes what parents have to do, is that they have to go around and they have to try to find the good solution.
Or the best solution out of the worst ones possible.
It almost seemed like she had a bunch of children around her saying, hey, we want to do this, And instead of her just saying no, yes, or anything to anybody else, she's like, hang on, I'm going to make up my mind first. It's not a conventional choice with this one, but there was nobody that really stood out to me. But I thought that her choices were very interesting, and I thought that her way of looking at the world and getting advice was more of an adult move than a child move. And so I kind of gave her the parrot.
I like that. I like that a whole lot. I think that's an excellent choice. I did not go for Laura.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going for the Reed Richards version of the award for Tigra. It's a kind of a weak choice.
I think I can see where you're going here. I think I can. It's her decision to not tell the kids.
Yeah, we should warn the children. No, let's not do that. Well, we should evacuate the school. No, let's not do that either. It was kind of now all the students are going to face Shaw without having any understanding that he's not his befuddled amnesiac. Because they even say that. It's like Jeffries even says, he goes, some of the children are friends with him. They just see him as kind of a befuddled amnesiac that needs some caretaking. And they're used to him. They're just used to that version of him. And some of them even like him. And so Tiger going, no, we can't tell him that he's back and he's free. That kind of was like, I don't think you're making the best choices there. Because at this point, she could have told them, everything could have still been going on, but they'd have been a little bit more prepared for seeing him. Because the way that I see it now, Shaw's just like, look at this conveniently cluster of students. And then they could be like, oh, hi, Shaw. Hey, da-da-da-da-da. What are you doing out? Are they letting you walk the grounds or something? And then he could be like, sort of, punch, punch. So...
yeah, I can see that. I definitely can see that. I think that was probably the better choice than mine. Mine was just a different choice, but I really like yours.
I think yours is very viable. I approve of the way that you discussed it, where while she is a student, she was also making very adult choices.
Yeah.
She was doing very parental choices, and I approve of yours entirely.
Well, let's talk about popular and shunned. Who is the best? Who is the worst? I think we already talked about somebody who definitely is the worst, and that's Reptile, and I think that's yours.
Yeah.
My worst was Hercules. I tended to look at the fight. And so I went with Hercules because my only comment was, really? That was your plan? Your plan against Shaw? That was a horrible plan. Your plan failed on so many levels, and like, you telegraphed every punch.
He did. He's invisible, but he's telling Shaw that he's there. He has the shield to petrify, but he warns him of what the shield can do. Yeah.
Everything failed. And I'm like, that was dumb. That was really dumb, Hercules. So
he could have invisibly gotten in front of Shaw.
Yeah. everything.
Put the shield up, popped off the invisibility, and just been and like, just wiggle, been wiggle, and then Shaw would have stared at it, and it would have been done with.
And just yes. done with it, yeah. So yeah.
And have the sword that cuts through anything as the fallback plan, as opposed to...
Let's talk a little bit about how much we hate Reptile.
Yeah, don't get me wrong, I love Reptile. I think he's a great character. I do think he is a leader of the Avengers Academy students, and I think he does a great job. However, they're really pushing the him wanting to be with Finesse because he saw it in the future.
He's creepy.
It's very creepy because it's just, it's not right. It is a potential future. She even says it is just like, yes, we did share some feelings together, but the more you're trying to pigeonhole me into having those feelings, the less I'm going to have them.
Yeah.
And he needs to be able to respect that, where he should just go, this is a future that I saw. It could be like this. It could also be different. This is like the first time that they have addressed it in comic for the characters between themselves, because the other time that they've addressed it was in the Nico magic spell flashback, indicating that they have discussed it before. So it's kind of repeating grounds of like, in the future, we have a kid together, so we should be together. No. Flashback. Now we have a current one where it's just like, in the future, we have a kid together, we should be together. No. Yeah, so Reptile is kind of pushing the same button that is worn out and needs to be left alone.
Yes. Best. I actually went Tigra because I thought that she was the smartest against Shaw. Enough said.
Oh, okay.
I really like her just intelligent move against a real problem.
Oh, it was a very smart move. It was really good. It showed why she is an experienced combatant and very intelligent. Yeah. She really is great on that. Now, I did not pick her. However, stop me if you've heard this person's name before. I went for Laura.
Yeah, that's given. This is Laura's issue. This is Laura. I mean, it's the obvious choice in this one, and I don't mind it at all. I went with Tiger because I like that move that she did, but no, Laura did everything in this, and she was making the wise choices. It's the reason I picked her for the Parent of the Year, and I think for a lot of the same reasons too. So
exactly, yeah, the same reasons is why I picked her as the best. Again, I have the Bad Reed Richards Award for Tigra. Due to mistakes I think she's made. She made a really good choice with how to fight Shaw.
So we have made some wise choices in our past, and that includes ranking all these wonderful issues that we have covered all the way from our worst episode at spot 56, Loners number 3, What Lies Beneath, going up to spot number 40. Yeah, I'm doing this backwards. And that's going to be X-23 Volume 3, Chaos 3 Part 2, Laura meets the FF and does not kill Val. Very important. Spot number 30, we have The Loner's Secret Santa from Marvel Holiday Special number 1, 2007. That was kind of fun. Spot number 20, Amazing Spider-Man 659, Fantastic Voyage. Spot number 10, we've got Fantastic Four 585, Kings of Atlantis, and the top spot, Month of Mourning. Jeff, how do you like this issue?
Well, let's just immediately go to spot 25, which was Avengers issue number 29, the previous Protective Services part 1. How do we think that this is? Do we think it's better or worse or comparable to that?
I think that this is worse.
I agree.
I think that this is midway through the story. They're setting up a bunch of pieces. I think it's good. The story overall, yeah. I like where they're going with it. It's just...
It's decent, but it is getting you somewhere. It's a getting hallway.
Somewhere. Yeah. And so it's not extraordinary for what it's doing there. So I'm going to go down a bit.
28, Avengers Academy, number 24, Reptile tricks his friends into being lynched for hybrid.
Ooh, that's comparable.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I'm just thinking about that spot 30, that Secret Santa. I like that Secret Santa story. That was kind of fun.
Secret Santa was great. It was short, but it was sweet.
Frank makes Galactus his herald. I like that moment a lot. All right, let's go ahead and say that this is... I'm looking at spot number 33. Runaways are told by Gert from the future to beware of Victor. I think between Runaways number 1, Runaways number 2, I think probably that's about where we're at. Actually, I'm going to take it back. I think that this spot is going to be good for number 35. That's where Fantastic Four number 16, One Step Beyond. Above that is where the Runaways find Victor and tell them he has got powers. I like that issue.
Yeah.
We got the Fantastic Four 16, they rebuild, rebrand after the Celestials fight. It's kind of when they're doing the rebuilding stuff. It's a good issue, but I think...
They clean up New York, they rebuild the Baxter Building. Yeah.
It's good, but I think that this has got some more movement going forward than that one does. That was a kind of a compilation. It was fine, but I think that this is a little bit more... There's a little bit more that's here that they're going with on this
one. A little more meat on those bones. Got some soup stock going on.
Yeah, let's make this a new number 35.
I'm fine with that. I think that is a fantastic choice. And speaking of fantastic things, let's think of our fantastic thoughts on the beer that we just had, which is Ribbit Robot by Vice Beer, a hazy IPA. What are we thinking about this beverage, my friend?
It's not bad.
Yeah.
I definitely like this. I think that this is a good one to have when you have a hot day, you're doing some work in the lawn, and you just need something kind of cool to refresh you down, chill you out, sun's going down. Nice sundowner yep. beer, I think.
Yeah, it's a good warm weather beer.
Yeah, I'm going to say this is a good 3 points for me.
Agree. I'm enjoying it. I'm drinking it. I'm going to continue to drink it. Would I go for it? Not especially, but would I not go for it? No, not especially that either. Definitely a 3. It's a decent beer. The flavor profile on it has remained the same. Hazy IPAs tend to be fairly drinkable and fairly great summer beers. So, yeah, 3 for me.
All right. Sounds good to me.
And what sounds good to me is kids' perspective. And that's where Rick talks to his 13-year-old daughter, Carrie, about the book that we just covered. So, Rick and Carrie, take it away.
Hello, Carrie.
Hello, Daddy.
Let's talk about another issue of Avengers Academy, Part 2 of Protective Services. What'd you think?
Yeah. This time they're really, really showing the rivals between them, the two groups.
A bit, but we're getting a little bit more into
personal things.
Personal things and people's issues with what's going on, right?
Right. And also, they compared Japanese imprisonment camps to the situation.
Yeah? What'd you think about that?
I wasn't sure if I was supposed to be, like, offended as half Asian, or if I was supposed to be like, oh, yep, that works. Because I was just like, what?
Well, it's not...
Is this racism, or is it just... assuming, or is it? I don't know.
You have to understand one thing is that the X-Men and mutants in the Marvel Universe have been stand-ins for a lot of different races or bigotry or discrimination. So they use the metaphor of mutants to cover a lot of things. And in this case, they're using it in the sense of the Japanese internment during World War II. There is a war going on, and they don't want this group of people to become involved in it. So instead of doing something better, they decide we are going to just put these people in a place where they can be out of the way, they can be protected, and we're going to have other people watching them. And that's very, very similar to what the mentality was and what happened to the Japanese population during World War II. It was not right. It was extremely wrong. And it was very devastating to a lot of those communities. And it's not meant to be offensive. It's meant to show that there are similarities between what they're feeling and how some of the people involved are feeling about the situation.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense, because I wasn't sure how to feel about it, but I think that makes more sense now, so.
Yeah, their goal is not to train to be racist. They're trying to say that the situation is, in some sense, racist. So,
yeah,
they're pointing out that there is similarities between the mentality of what is going on here. And that's part of what Laura's kind of dealing with, isn't she? She's dealing with whether this is right or wrong and what her feelings are on the situation.
And people are telling her, make up your mind now.
Yeah. Gosh, what's it like? I wonder what it's like for somebody who takes their time to try to figure out their feelings on something, being told that they have to figure out and make up their mind right now.
While reading this the second time, I realized how long it's just like, it's me. Just more serious situations, but it's me.
Well, there are times when we would like you to make up your mind a little bit faster than you make up your mind.
And I'm like,
What flavor of ice cream do you want? Come on, there is a line out the door. Just saying.
Hours go by.
Pretty much.
Okay, it's not that bad. You weren't supposed to respond that way.
What do you think about the main fight? I know you had questions about Sebastian Shaw. He's the bad guy that they had in a prison. What do you think about his fight against an actual prison? Because they recognize he's a bad guy and they don't trust him. So you have him fighting 3 different people. Madison Jeffries, Hercules, and Tigra. Who is the best?
Tigra.
Mm-hmm. She was the smartest, right?
Yeah, because the other ones were just like brute force, and then
pretty much
they got beaten up. And then she was like smart, and she also got beaten up, but did more damage.
Yep, she almost stopped him. Yep. What do you think about Laura's final decision that she makes near the end when it looks like the X-Men are trying to leave and the Sentinel shows up and she's trying to get everybody to just back down? What do you think about her final little speech?
I think it makes sense.
Do you agree with her?
Yeah. It's like you shouldn't fight over this.
Well, they're going to fight. But what's her decision? Her decision is, no, we shouldn't be doing this. We shouldn't be telling these people they have to stay. People should be able to make up their own mind.
People should have their own free will.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Except you. You have to do what we tell you to do. Sorry. Them's the rules.
Oh, and then bad guy shows up and is like, ha 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 ha. And then we end off. So
cliffhanger on a cliff.
Wow.
Anything else you want to say about this?
Nope.
All right. Thank you very much for your time, Carrie.
Welcome.
I love you.
Love you too.
Yep. There you go, Carrie. That's what's going on. Sewer fights and invisibility helmets.
Shout out time. We'd like to recognize those listeners that take the time to write in or leave us a review. This is for episode 153, Adventures Academy number 27, Homecoming, part 1, with some nice likes by Hoover Jeremiah.
Jeremy Daw, who says, I just finished listening to your new episode. It's pretty fun to see two groups get together and have a few awkward moments. I really liked the LaPuenta cover, and Gage had some snappy dialogue. I'm curious how the angle with Stryker is developing. There feels an undercurrent of disingenuousness to his actions. Your previous episode with Solo Avengers almost had me going through my boxes for the first volume of West Coast Avengers. That was a fun read. Hope to hear from you soon.
Thank you very much for the comment. Jeremy Wiggins.
Tim Price, the Podcrasher, and his podcast, The Outcasters.
We like to thank those people that give us some money through Patreon to do this show. And that includes adorably astonishing and amazing Andrew Burns.
Cheerfully cheeky and charming Char Logan.
Challenging, cheesy, and chuckling Charles Gears.
Destructive and devastatingly delightful Damian Witter.
Dynamically dangerous and devious Doug Jones.
Intelligent, interesting, and innovative Isaac Perry.
Jesting, joking, and jovial Jeff Bollier.
Just jealous and jeweled Jeremy Daw.
Muscly, mighty, and meticulous Matthew Birdsey.
Mythical and magnificent monologuing Matthew Laserwitz.
Steely, salty, and steamy Sailor Bear Zodar.
Sad and sickeningly silly Shag Matthews.
Tyrannically terrifying and tame Tim Price.
Way, way wordy and wobbly Waffles.
Weird and wonderfully wacky Win.
Next issue, we're going to be covering Avengers Academy issue number 31, Protective Services, part 3.
Be sure to find me on the road in about a week and a half from when this comes out, when I will be surfing the highway between Wisconsin and Alabama. Yeah, I'm going on a massive road trip the first week in April. I'm going to be having myself a good old time out on the road, meeting some podcasting friends, and seeing some people I just don't see out in that area. Yeehaw!
It's going to be fun. It's going to be a fun road trip.
And you know the best part is? Jeff's not coming with me. Oh wait, that's the sad part. I asked him to come and he said no.
Yep. Because of reasons. Rick being a stinky, stinky booger butt reason. No, actually, yeah, I've got plans that overlap it. And we have some merchandise available on Redbubble. Go to redbubble.com and search for Unpacking the Power of Power Pack.
Jeff and Rick Present is a bi-weekly self-produced podcast recorded in front of a live studio audience of a tiny little slinky in Portland, Oregon. If you would like to interact with us through the magic of the internet, you can do so through Blue Sky at Jeff and Rick Present, our Facebook page, Jeff and Rick Present, our email address at Jeff and Rick Present, all one word at gmail.com, or at our website, jeffandrickpresent.wordpress.com. Also, our YouTube channel is at Jeff and Rick Present.
And if you would like to help support our show, we are on Patreon. You can find us at patreon.com, Jeff and Rick Present, all one word. We are also a proud supporter of the Hero Initiative, and we'll be donating 10% of our Patreon donations to this great cause. We encourage everyone to give what they can to this worthwhile organization that helps the creators who provide us with such great content. Go to heroinitiative.org to find out more.
Please rate and review us wherever you can. Tell your friends about us or share your love for us on social media.
And as always, we want to thank the powerful people in our packs.
My wife Cindy and our daughter Carrie.
My fiance Hillary and our daughter Aurora.
We love you.
Until next time, costumes off.
Our theme music is 80s Action by Kevin MacLeod. Also featured in this episode is Night by Sasha Ende. Our music is found at incompetech.com and is licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 4.0 license.
A place we as Marvel Mutant fans know well. Marvel Jeffries.
Breakatham.
Name of Mr. Bombastic.
It's Boombastic.
Breakatham.
With the shield of Perseus. But also Hercules. Perseus. But also Hercules. While trying to be tricky with the shield of Perseus. With the shield of Perseus. Whose visage of Perseus. Medusa.
Breakatham.
Give me just a second. Aurora needs to tell me something. What's up, Ben?
I accidentally ate your side of the bar.
You ate the candy you said you were going to let me eat?
Mwah! Breakfast,
please.
We're also a... That's nowhere near. That's wonderful. We are a proud...